Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 3 of E4 2024. It is the, I believe, longest stretch ever between episodes 2 and 3 of E4. We used to do like 3 of these shows in one day, and now we've done 3 of these shows in 3 weeks. I'm Tommy Jamie sitting over there, who we haven't talked for a while. How you doing, man?
We're sad individuals.
This has not been the E4 that we had planned, but it is the E4 that we have.
You have been lucky. You've been out of town. You've done all kinds of cool stuff. You've had kids and cars. You've done all kinds of things. And me, what did I do? I tore my office apart again and put it back together. Thanks to my buddy Doug for helping me rearrange and do some things. Nice. We are still trying to get ready for you to be here. I don't think you can see it, but there's a ceiling fan above my head.
That's a beautiful thing.
It's going full blast, as we used to say when we were kids. It is turned up and it is cranked. And we think, we hope, this is the last time that we're going to have to tear the office apart. Although I am slightly frustrated because the receiver that we bought for this little project sat in my office for 6 months because I was waiting on somebody to help me. Well, we got it all plugged in, and it turns out that we don't have enough receiver for the speakers that we got.
Yeah.
And of course, I can't send the receiver back because the return window is way past gone.
Right.
So now I'm like looking at another receiver. Doug's like laughing at me because he's like, "You just want something bigger." And he's right. I do. But it's always gonna be something.
Yeah.
So
that is how it works. But I'm excited to see it. I'm excited that it has made progress. So
yeah.
We obviously took a little longer break than we anticipated. We had anticipated taking a break in there because I had a vacation scheduled, but as I mentioned in that update, I also was without internet for like a weekend for like 3 days, which we've talked about how great and reliable my internet has been, and I still love it. It is the first major outage I've had in 6 years or whatever it is. But man, it was an inopportune time for an outage. So we were just kind of sunk sitting around waiting for internet to come back on, and it just never did before vacation time. So it is what it is.
We never really thought about, because we grew up in a time. This is how we are. See, this is the, we talk about our old portion of the show. We grew up in a time before the internet. So we know what to do when there's no internet. Your kids do not know how to function when there's no internet. So I feel badly for you, sir.
And we also now live in an age, because one of the things we did when we didn't have internet is we just watched TV and played video games. And so much of that now is dependent on the internet. So like my daughter wants to watch TV. I'm like, you can't. Like, we don't have it. Everything we have is streaming. We don't have cable.
Right.
So like our internet's down means our TV is down. Like, we literally don't have anything. I don't have a DVD player plugged in or anything. Like, our internet's never down. Like, it just isn't ever a thought. And so she's like, nope. And we have, you know, some games. So she was able to play some games. She plays, it's been playing more and more on the Switch, which is pretty cool. But there's a couple of games that we play together that we stream off of Game Pass. And I'm like, nope, can't play that. Because it's internet, you know, just when it does happen, again, very, very rarely, but when it does happen, it does kind of disrupt everything. So, again, I'm not complaining. I have great internet at an amazing cost that has not been down significantly other than this one time in 6 years. Like, it's good, but just suck the timing of it. So we have a lot of catching up to do, and we're going to still be catching up over the next several weeks. And so we are going to be talking about stuff that happened a while back. So bear with us. We are going to talk about it. It's just going to be over the course of the summer and not all at once like we have done in the past. So all that said, we are going to skip a whole bunch of things this show and talk about Nintendo, because that's been kind of the most recent thing that happened. And honestly, kind of newsiest thing of the stuff that's happened that we haven't covered yet. And so we're going to get to that because it's meaty. And so we'll get into that for in just a little bit. But I do want to ask, like, how you been? Because we just haven't talked in a while.
Man, I'm good. I'm still here. Everything's good. I've been playing around with the game room. I'm so depressed at myself for what I have been playing in the game room because I've got Cyberpunk. Duff is playing Cyberpunk and like sending me random texts at various hours in the evening going, this is so cool. I have not touched Cyberpunk in a month.
Yeah.
And the reason I haven't touched Cyberpunk in a month is for two reasons. One is Boatro, which I've already talked about how much I hate it because it sucks your time and you basically get nothing for it. Still hate it. Can't stop playing it. And the other one that I can't stop playing is a very similar game, which is Midnight Suns, Marvel's Midnight Suns.
Nice.
And it is not a roguelike, but it is a deck builder. And I have to say, the way that they have it set up is extremely addicting because it's rhythmic. Like, the game is set up in days, and there are certain things that you do during the day, and then you go on a mission, and then you come back from a mission, and you do a hangout with one of the heroes, and it's very rhythmic, and there's a very exact way to do it. Hey, look who it is! I knew she was coming. Already. See?
You want to say hi to Jamie real quick? All right.
What are you doing?
I'm cuddling with Daddy.
I see that.
All right.
Every time I see you, you get bigger. You gotta come see me. You have got to come see me. Here comes Mom. Are you in trouble? You look like you might be in trouble. Are you in trouble?
Bye.
All right.
I'm not in trouble.
Tell Jamie bye.
I'll see you later. I'll see you later. You look fabulous.
See you later.
See you later, babe.
See you in a bit, sweetheart.
You know, I should be really frustrated that your daughter wrecks our show, but I'm really not.
Yeah, she is awfully cute.
Like, she is the coolest. She is the coolest thing. And I'm gonna get off of what I was talking about in a second. I'm just gonna finish that up, and then I have something else to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But Midnight Sun is very rhythmic. There's a very repetitive thing about it because each day works out the same way. You do some stuff before you go out, after you go out, and then you go back to sleep. And it should be really, really boring, but I can't stop playing it.
Yeah,
because it's what XCOM. It's basically refined XCOM is what it is.
Yeah.
They've figured out how to make the XCOM mechanic really interesting, and I can't stop playing it. And I hate it because I have other stuff I need to be playing that is better than Midnight Suns. But I'm having fun.
Yeah.
And so that's all I've been playing for like a month.
I'm really glad you are, because it's a game that I've been interested in for a long time. We talked about when we saw it, what, 2 years ago during the summer, whatever event it was at that point that we saw it. Like, the concept's cool. We love Marvel. We love XCOM. And so the idea of like those worlds colliding made a lot of sense to us. And so I have it. I've played 2 minutes. I mean, more than that, but not much more than that. I've fired it up and done just the very intro kind of stuff on it. I want to spend some time with it, but I'm super glad that you're spending some time with it, because it feels like a game that we should spend some time with. Like, it's just logically one that we need to play, and so I'm glad you're playing it.
The last show we talked about games that we need to finish. I feel like this is one of those that I will finish.
Yeah.
Because it just, like, one thing that it has that games don't have anymore is one single ending. So no matter what you do, it's the one ending.
Yeah.
And so I really feel like this may be the game that I finish this summer. And when I eventually do, I'll go back to Cyberpunk and Baldur's Gate and everything else. Right. But I really am. I'm having a blast. And I can't really explain to you why I'm having a blast, because it really is a simple game that is based almost completely around routine.
Yeah.
And there's something comforting about that. I don't know what it is. So I'm really enjoying that, having a good time. I'm curious as to what you played while you were on the road, because you have various devices for that.
I do, and I didn't take a single one with
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there was just no shot. So
you are such an adult.
I know. It's brutal. So we went to California. We did a California road trip, flew into Oakland, went to Yosemite and Sequoia, and then to the beach, and then back to San Francisco. So made kind of a big loop. But on the airplane there and back, it was all kid management. And there it was all driving or kid management or dealing with legit. I mean, I am exhausted from this vacation in a way that you shouldn't be after vacation. Taking a 9-month-old on a 1,400-mile, that's how many miles we ended up putting on our rental car road trip, is not the wisest thing probably, but we had a blast. It was great. But that said, I have like a handful of like just daily routine games that I play on my phone that like I do. Yeah, this is going to sound super old and nerdy, but I'm an old nerdy person, so it makes sense. I do like the New York Times games. I do like the daily crossword and Wordle and all of those stuff all the time. I have a daily Sudoku that I do because I'm that person that gets into that kind of stuff. And I, you know, like, it's just part of my daily routine that I've had streaks of these going for months, and I broke my streaks on them because I was so busy. I didn't even get around to playing those things that are just the stupid little phone games, much less having time to play anything else. And so worth it. It was amazing, but I haven't touched anything in 2 weeks. I haven't touched Final Fantasy, the last thing I played. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the last thing I've touched. so I have to ask you a dumb sport question. Mm-hmm. That I know the answer to. I'm sad that I know the answer to it, but you made it all the way to San Francisco and you didn't go to Chase Center, did you?
No. Yeah, I know. We didn't do that. We saw Oracle Park driving by and thought that was cool, but yeah, didn't do a thing.
That's
talk a little bit.
I don't know that we've really adequately expressed on top of the gaming stuff. We are sports guys.
Yeah.
And so you said Northern California, and I was like, ooh, Candlestick.
Right.
Candlestick.
Yeah. We again saw it all from the outside and went, oh, that's pretty from over there. But I mean, we did a little bit of the San Francisco experience. We rode the cable cars and went to the pier and, you know, did like the touristy things there for a little bit. But did not have enough time there to get fun into the sports scene. Not that the Sexy Sidekick would have let me anyway, had we. But yeah, no.
That's another one of those things that hopefully is going to happen when he retires, is that we're going to venture around to various ballparks
and
see what we can see, because we're both, I mean, for crying out loud, it's July, there's baseball on the TV, like this is the best time of year.
Yep.
And we're massive sports geeks, which is why I keep paying for two domains that revolve around the election list, because we're going to get back to doing a sports show before
someday.
We die.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be great. There's tons to talk about. So all that said, a couple things really quick here. Thanks to the Patreon folks, as the website loads. The website hung up on me. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luke, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. If you want to support us, you can do that. Go by GamingUncensored.com. Click on Become a Patron over there. Send us some money. We will play some games, I promise. We're going to get back into the playing games. And we are here back for at least a couple of shows talking about games. And so we are not going anywhere. And we will gladly take your money to continue to not go anywhere. So if you'd like to support us, we would appreciate it.
Yes.
That said, should we talk about some Nintendo stuff?
We should, because they had a really good show.
They did have a good show. So Nintendo had a Direct a couple days ago, a week ago now. It's been so long, in my sense of time. It's so shot about 10 days ago, I guess now, with a handful of announcements and some new looks at stuff that we knew existed. And so we'll just kind of run through it, starting with Mario and Luigi Brothership, which is a weird name, Brothership, but you know, it is a Mario and Luigi game. Hasn't been a Mario and Luigi title in a long time, and this one, I mean, like, it looks different to me now through the lens of some of the other kind of co-op centric games that we've seen do so well, like Brothers and what's the other one I'm trying to think of with the yarn, Mom and Dad, and me. Same people. I'll look it up here in just a second.
I'll think of it. I will.
I know it'll come to us here in a little bit. I keep on wanting to say Among Us. I'm like, that's not it, but it's something along Between Us or something like that. Anyway, those kinds of games, those kind of co-op, like having to navigate the world together games, have become more popular, and so this immediately reminded me of those kind of titles, which are really great, and bringing that to the Mario kind of genre again. It already exists, like, this isn't new, this is a franchise that already exists, but bringing it to that in this kind of new light, it's really exciting to me. And so I think this is going to be a fun one, specifically because I have a daughter who already loves these kind of games and is going to eat it up, because she also loves Mario.
She's going to eat it up because the thing about this that surprised me, I don't know why I'm surprised, I should know at this point, but I was surprised that what this Direct was Nintendo doing exactly what Nintendo does and has done for 50 years. Like, I didn't see anything. This Mario title is going to be great. I didn't see anything that shocked me. I didn't see anything that surprised me. It's just what we expect from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Which is great and also sort of annoying. I will talk about the annoying thing after we get through some more of this stuff.
Yeah. So. It Takes Two is the name of the game that I was looking for, which is Joseph Ferris. So that's what I was trying to think of. Also did A Way Out, which we played a chunk of. And speaking of games we need to finish, really enjoyed playing A Way Out. And so all that said, looks like a fun time. And just like you were saying, is very Nintendo. This is what they do, and seems like it'll be what they do. We saw a little bit more of Nintendo World Championship, NES edition, as we talked about on the show a month or two ago, of like all the kind of like skills and speed running challenges that are in, like, from this old school World Championship that existed, you know, back in the 90s with the big thing, what we thought was cool back then.
Go look up the movie called The Wizard.
Yes, that gives you a good sense of that world. And so it looks cool. I will definitely check it out, because, like, it's kind of familiar, because it's a whole bunch of NES games that we're familiar with. And so you've got little Mario challenges and Metroid challenges and then all this kind of stuff. But it's also got this, you know, like, competitive thing to it, which is kind of fun. And not that I have any desire to be a speedrunner. Like, that's not really my vibe. But I think it's cool and interesting. And, like, one of the things they showed off in this is it'll show you, like, the speedrunner tricks and that kind of stuff, like the stuff that speedrunners use, which I think is kind of cool. And I, like, I don't want to have to figure that stuff out, but if like you show me how like they do it, I will at least get like 10 minutes of entertainment out of that, and that's something I'm looking forward to.
The other interesting thing is basically they built a game about around all of the classic Nintendo levels from various games that we've played all our lives, like the, you know, getting through a couple of levels in the original Mario or Zelda, or like they basically took the content that they've already got and repurposed it and said, hey, look, a new game with a scoreboard, and people will eat it up. They will.
Yeah, for sure. I think it'll be a big deal. It's going to be one of those things that's like a big Twitch thing too, which again, it's not our world. We don't have a lot of familiarity with. But I think it's going to be a significant like thing in the gaming culture, which will be cool. And Nintendo needs some of that stuff. I mean, obviously Nintendo is pretty synonymous with all things gaming. But like, it's also good for them to have some kind of crossover competitive appeal stuff, which is not necessarily where they're most known and not where we most care about, but probably why. So that said, there was a handful of the kind of Japanese RPG stuff that we always get from Nintendo. I'm not sure. I don't really feel like going through all of them because a lot of them aren't memorable to me because it's not really my scene at this point. I'll mention a couple. The Fantasian game, which is from the creator of Final Fantasy, is interesting insofar as like it's from the creator of Final Fantasy and kind of has a cool like old school 3D Final Fantasy vibe in some ways, and is, you know, kind of interesting, weird turn-based combat. I don't know.
All of these, everyone that I saw reminded me of like a Chrono Trigger or
the
Secret of Mana kind of a thing. And it was very clear that they were going for that old school RPG turn-based vibe. And I don't mind it. Like I said, if we had 150 hours to put into like two of these, we probably would.
Probably, but we don't, and we won't. So that's the sad reality. I'll mention the other ones that were in here really quickly. There's one called Fairy Tale 2. I don't know anything about. Apparently, there was a Fairy Tale 1. There's also Farmasia, which is like farming, but kind of the same world of Japanese anime style RPG-ness, but also meets Stardew Valley. Dragon Quest III is getting a HD 2D remake, which actually looks pretty cool, and they announced that they're also going to do Dragon Quest 1 and 2, which again, if I had a bunch of time and a different life, would be amazing. I don't, and so I probably won't ever touch them, but they do look cool. Like, I'll give them that. Like, they legit look cool. Just
if the two of us could get a wizard or God or somebody to just stick us in a time bubble for like 1,000 years, and all we had to do was sit and play this stuff, we might eventually get around to it.
Right. Metal Slug, new Metal Slug game. If you remember Metal Slug, that's another one that goes way back. Kind of 2D side scroller, beat 'em up ish. Not really a beat 'em up, but kind of in that vein. I'm trying to see what else here. Phantom Brave. So another one. Like I said, there were a bunch of these, and so we're gonna kind of leave it at that with all of those games, because again, not really our speed, but Nintendo always has a lot of those. Romancing Saga 2, another one in there. So, so several of those, we'll get back into more our speed. But if that's something that anybody listening is interested in and wants to give us a better take on, please do, because we would love to hear a better take than us going, meh, they're fine. Switchboard says basketball coming to it, which is I'm actually kind of excited about. We've played some Switch sports in the house here, and so I think Genevieve will get into playing some hoops in Switch sports.
Genevieve's gonna be dunking.
Yes, like,
that's I found that fairly comical. watching people take jump shots.
Yeah.
then you got this random girl just dunking on the rim. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. There was this game called Mio, or Memories in Orbit, which is very kind of artsy looking, very Ori and the Blind Forest kind of vibe to it. A little bit more cartoonish and hand-drawn looking than Ori and the Blind Forest, but kind of similar worlds. It looks very Metroidvania in that kind of sense. And so once you give me kind of pretty Metroidvania, like, you don't have to tell me a lot more, I'm probably going to check it out. And this is another one on that list of I'm probably going to check out.
Yep, absolutely.
Disney Illusion Island is getting some new content, which I didn't even remember Disney Illusion Island was a thing, but then I saw it and I was like, oh, that kind of looks cool. And again, having a kid that's into Disney made me go, oh, maybe. Hello Kitty Island Adventure did not get me as much even with a kid. I'm not trying to introduce Genevieve to Hello Kitty anytime soon.
It's going to happen, sir.
We're going to wait as long as possible.
You're going to have to do the wallpaper. You're going to have to do the bed, the comforter, everything.
You're probably right. But again, we're going to push that off as long as we can. Looney Tunes, speaking of like all this cartoon stuff here in the middle, Looney Tunes Wacky World of Sports is a little bit more fun looking.
That I want to play.
Yeah, because we grew up with Looney Tunes, and so that automatically is nostalgic for us. And so it's kind of arcadey sports. They showed soccer and basketball. We'll have some other sports in there. Tennis. I'm trying to think of what else there was. Tennis, basketball, maybe golf. I don't remember what the other one was. But anyway, you get all the Looney Tunes characters and doing silly sports, and you know, that's fun. We're into that. HD remake of Donkey Kong Country Returns that came out on the Wii many, many, many years ago, which is...
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember the original game having 60 levels? They said in this thing that this remake has 60 levels.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. I honestly like Donkey Kong, the Donkey Kong Country kind of franchise, those games, I never really got that into them. They were fine. I played them a little bit, but they just weren't really my thing. I don't know why. Like, I played lots of other games that were that same kind of platformer thing in that era. But the Donkey Kong games were just never... I know there's like a massive fan base for them, and that's great. But I just... I don't know. It doesn't interest me as much as it should, because it doesn't pull at the nostalgia like other stuff does for me.
And I'm a lot the same way, because we talked about this when all of that stuff was big. I was the guy on the block that had the Sega.
Right.
And if I was going to go play Super Nintendo, I had to go to somebody's house, you know.
Yeah.
So that may be part of the reason why I haven't really been into it.
Yeah, I'm the one with the Super Nintendo, and I never got into it. So whatever. This is what it is. Same thing with Luigi's Mansion, which they're also having an HD remake. Luigi's Mansion 2 is getting an HD release on the Switch. Another franchise I've just not spent much time with, but it's one that I think Genevieve would really like, because she likes kind of like almost scary stuff. Like, she likes the idea of scary stuff, but she doesn't actually like scary stuff. So like a Haunted Mansion Luigi game is like right up her alley, and so it may be one that I try to play with her that I could see her getting really into. It's not that exciting for me personally, but
I hope that a modder or somebody at Nintendo, when they remake this, I hope somebody gets the rights to the Ghostbusters theme. I would pay money to see that.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. We got some announcements for the Switch Online expansion pack updates. This is the retro console kind of thing on the Switch. Four like significant games: 2 Game Boy Advance games and 2 64 games. So on the Game Boy Advance, getting Legend of Zelda Four Swords, which is one of the Zelda games I've never actually played. So I didn't have a Game Boy Advance, and so I'm actually really interested in that, of getting to play that. And then a game that's just fabulous is Metroid Zero Mission, which I have played many times through and will happily play through again because it's
very good. I want to see when I want you to stream that when you play through it again, because I have not seen that one all the way through.
It's relatively short. It's not, I mean, all the Metroid games are pretty short, but it probably takes a couple hours to get through it if you're really trying. But it's a cool game, and you get to see a little bit of the origin story of Samus. And like I said, I've played through it a handful of times on emulators. It'll be nice to play through it in a legitimate way because I've never actually played it legally, I don't think. And so this will give me a chance to play it legally. Which will be nice. I feel a little better about myself. And then on the N64 side, Perfect Dark coming to the Nintendo Online expansion pack, which obviously is relevant because we were talking about the Perfect Dark new game that is coming. I don't want to say remake because I don't think it really is a remake, but a new game in Perfect Dark world that's coming. So if you want to see where that originated, you can go back and play the original, as well as Turok, which watching the like gameplay of it the thing, I was like, that is aged so bad.
It's so horrible.
So horrible. But man, we thought Turok was cool.
Yes, we did.
It was one of those games that like you had to play. Because it was kind of edgy, like just a little bit edgy. And like
was Nintendo's version of edgy.
Yes, Nintendo's version of edgy.
Nobody else had Turok.
Right. For sure. So, and then we get to some of the bigger announcements, which include, I'm going to just skip ahead really quick because we already know these things. So I'll throw them in here really quick because I just think they're interesting to note. Lego Horizon Adventure showed up, which is interesting just so far, insofar as it's a Sony franchise that is coming to the Switch, which is significant. And then Stray, which started out as a Sony exclusive, Sony published game, and I don't remember that offhand right now, but Stray, which is a wonderful little game about being a cat in this kind of future dystopian world. Oh, it's published by Annapurna, so not Sony published game, but was I believe a PlayStation exclusive for a while now on everything. But is a really lovely little game that is coming to Switch and stuff. Highly recommend that. Tales of the Shire, the Lord of the Rings life sim game, coming to the Switch. It makes perfect sense on the Switch. And so, so then we'll talk about kind of the big Nintendo stuff that's left and start with Mario Party Jamboree. We got a new Mario Party coming. I don't have a ton to say about Mario Party other than it's just a lot of fun. I just always like Mario Party games.
It's the family thing. If you got a family, you're going to play Mario. I mean, that's what happens when
in the world.
My family gets together. That's what they do is play Mario Party.
It's fantastic. And so, new boards and different mini games and all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Just give it to me and I'll play it. You know, like that's Mario Party for me. Then this is what I'm most excited about because it was new. The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. We're getting a new Zelda game that is in kind of the style of the
one we still need to finish.
Yes, we definitely still need to finish Link's Awakening, the remake of Link's Awakening, which was in the same style as Echoes of Wisdom. But this one is fascinating because it's a Legend of Zelda game where you play as Zelda for the first time in this long franchise that has had Zelda right at the biggest part of the title, who you've never actually played as, really. There's a few exceptions to that we won't get into here, but like out of her own feature game, this is going to be her own featured game. So Link gets sucked into a rift, and now Zelda is the one that has to save Link, and so kind of role reversal here. And she's obviously a very different character. She's not running around with sword and shield and bow and arrow. She has this staff that can like conjure items. She learns how to make what they call, what was it? Was it just copies? What was the name of?
I think they said copies.
I think so too. Echoes. Echoes. Echoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she can make echoes of items that she finds. And so it showed like a table and a bed and just kind of silly stuff. And even enemies. And so you could like summon, you know, enemies to fight beside you since she's not super combative in her skill set, apparently. We'll see how it actually plays out. And so it feels like, even though it looks very much like just navigating a Zelda world, like it's very, again, much like Link's Awakening, which harkens back much to old school, like A Link to the Past kind of gameplay style, like just navigating that kind of world. But with this more even than normal puzzle approach, which obviously Zelda already has a bunch of puzzle approach to it, but even more kind of puzzle centric gameplay, because you're not also sword, shield, bow and arrow kind of stuff like Link does. And to me, I'm super intrigued by that. Like, I love the idea of a Zelda game where you finally play a Zelda.
I'm intrigued by it, but I don't know that I believe it's necessarily going to be good.
Yeah.
like this is one of those that's like, okay, he has to get here. We have to plug this in. We have to play this. We have to play several hours of it together because this is one of those things that I really don't know if it's going to be something that I think is worth playing more than a couple hours of.
Yeah.
You know, like I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm hopeful, but again, I have some of that same skepticism about it just because it's different and new. And, you know, obviously Zelda games are across the board of kind of scale and with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom being just these massive epics. And you know, again, arguably two of the best games ever made. This isn't going to be that. And so we're right. Not going in with that expectation.
And I think that's part of the thing. I think that's where some of my skepticism comes up, because after those two games, no matter what you follow them with, there it's going to be kind of, okay, cool. Can we get some more of this over here?
But it's also kind of the brilliance of the franchise that they are able to take big epic games and put them out every 5 or 6 years, and in between those put out other experiences that are really, really great. Because Link's Awakening is fantastic. It's not through lack of quality that we haven't finished it, though it's not near the level of what Tears of the Kingdom or Breath of the Wild is, obviously. But it's great. It's a blast. And Nintendo is good at executing that. And this is one I figure will be a really fun, you know, 15-20 hour game that, like, you'll go, yeah, that was cool, and you'll never want to play it again, but you'll have a good time through it. I hope that's me kind of wish casting onto it. But Nintendo's so good at delivering those experiences that I'm hopeful that they can make that one happen. So that was the big new game that we saw. And then the other big game that we saw that they closed with wasn't new because they've teased at it, but we finally got to actually see some of it, which is Metroid Prime 4, which has an official, like, subtitle now. I don't know what you call it. Beyond, Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, which was announced now 7 years ago. That first little teaser we got from it, which was just the logo, was 7 years ago, and still waiting for it. We'll still be waiting for it because it only release window that it gave us was next year, so end of 2025 at best at this point. But still, Metroid Prime as a franchise is really, really fantastic. However, you and I experienced this when we fired up Metroid Prime, the original, when it came out on the Switch. Also, just has aged not great because it was a GameCube game. So there's just a lot of stuff about it that just doesn't kind of hold up to modern scrutiny. And so them trying to figure out how to make it hold up to modern scrutiny, I think, has been part of the development challenge of this game. And I'm interested to see if they can pull that off.
I'm about to get real grumpy here because I don't think it's going to hold up. I'm looking at the gameplay in the trailer going, okay, it's more Metroid Prime that looks exactly like Metroid Prime did 10 years ago. Like, I don't see anything new here. And so this is where the grumpiness of me comes in. We love Nintendo. We love all of these franchises. They're wonderful. They're fantastic. They're what we grew up with. But especially something like Metroid, you have to give us voice, some sort of like voiceover text for all the crap that you have to scan. Just you gotta give us something. I do not want to play another Metroid Prime game that is exactly like Metroid Prime from 15 years ago. I don't want to do it. I love Metroid. Metroid's great. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Is that just me?
No, it's not. And I'm going to have a little bit of a rosier outlook on it because I'm a little bit more predisposed to the franchise, I think. But I generally agree insofar as it has to be updated, and what we haven't seen yet is the ways that they're going to modernize it, other than just visuals. Like, obviously, it looks better. It's very pretty. But, like, the mechanic of just going through the world and scanning things to try to figure out what's going on is not a bad mechanic, but it needs more than that.
You have that voice
for sure, and that's not something Nintendo's done a lot of, and so I'm curious to see if they could do it.
The last time we talked about this, I told you I think what I want, because there's not really a lot of spaces for voice. Like, it's Samus and a bunch of bad guys. There aren't NPC characters. What I want them to do is give her an inner monologue. That's what I want. I don't want... It's not her talking to a bunch of people or reading text off a screen or... I guess there's a lot of screens, so you could give an AI... You could have an AI that... When she walked up to the screen, it just told her, like, that would be cool. What I really want, though, is that inner monologue, because she is essentially every single game is that she lands, she loses her powers, then she's marooned on this station or planet or wherever she is with all of these bad guys by herself. There's no backup. There's no nothing. And I really feel like an internal monologue, if done correctly, would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that could be cool. And it's one of the things, like, the intimacy of Metroid Prime is something that was so cool about the original games that you got, like, we talk about, again, it seems so quaint in retrospect, but 20 years ago, this was amazing. The fact that, like, when the light came across her visor in the right way, you could see the reflection of her face, which is something that, like, you've always played as this character, as this armored with this big helmet, like not having any kind of personality character in the previous games. And you suddenly get like this just little intimate touch of like feeling like you're embodying Samus in a different way than all the 2D side-scrolling Metroid games had done before. And there was something just so magical about that. You can't recreate that. There's no like doing that again and recreating that same kind of cool thing that it did 20 years ago. But something like having her voice just kind of echoing around, even if it's not like in her head, in her monologue, but just her kind of talking to herself as she's navigating the world would be really great, because that's what Metroid Prime brings to the series that the other games don't, is this like really interesting part of her as a character and her personality, not like this anonymous armored character that you're playing. Because again, like the first game, you didn't know it was a woman till the end, you know, like you like the this it's significant part of what Metroid was held like secret until the end of the game, and it was this surprise, which was a cool surprise. But like now that you know that, like you want to know more of that character, and this gives some opportunity for that. And so Metroid's never been super narrative. That's not what the game is about, but the Prime games have always been a little bit more onto that narrative side. That's what I hope that they can bring in a more modernized way, is a lot more of the narrative side of her as a character and these worlds that she is exploring, why the motivation behind all this stuff, like the cool, like you saw a glimpse of what I'm assuming is kind of the main antagonist in the game, the guy with the suit with like the visor, like vertically down his face. And he has a couple of Metroids floating behind him. Like I was automatically intrigued by that. I'm like, what's going on there? Like, tell me more about that guy and why he's got Metroids following him around. Like, what are we doing here? Like, there's an opportunity to build a really cool story, but they have to execute.
Well, and the thing is this is not going to happen, but I would love to see a Metroid game somehow, some way end up on the PC with just absolutely stunning visuals and mouse and keyboard controls and like the whole thing. Like, that's how you need to do the next Prime game, and that's not what Nintendo's going to do. That's just like I think back to years and years and years ago, where when we had the realistic Link and Ganon demo, and how crazy everybody went for years. Like if they did something like this, it, of course the Switch does not have the power, but if Nintendo ever decided to do that with either one of those titles, the internet would break.
Like, for
sure. It just would break.
Yeah.
And if I were going to play a Prime game, that's how I would want to do it.
For sure. Now, whether or not Nintendo feels any need to do that is a whole different thing. I would love to see it happen. But I'm just looking through kind of news that we've missed right now. And one of the news stories that we just haven't talked about, the Switch is about 1.5 million units away from surpassing the total lifetime sales of the PlayStation 2. So PlayStation 2 is one of the best selling consoles of all time. Like, that's just nuts. Like, Nintendo, like when they strike gold, they really strike gold. The Switch is that. The Wii was that. The Wii U was not that. The GameCube wasn't that in the same way. But the Switch absolutely is. And they didn't have this is a so we've kind of talked about everything that they did show. What they didn't show was any real new hardware. There's a special edition Zelda Switch Lite coming, which is perfectly cool and fine, but there's a ton of those.
Did you notice the gold cartridges? I thought interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too.
Those were gold, coveted when we were going.
Yes,
on.
The gold Zelda cartridge was the thing.
Yeah.
But like they didn't announce a Switch Pro or anything along that line, and they don't need to.
Well, okay, so that's what I was gonna say. It's part of what I'm annoyed by. Because the thing that I love about Nintendo, and I'm also really starting to hate, because they just don't care. Like they just, they're like, this is what we do. We're gonna sell a bazillion units, and we don't really care whether you like it or not. Like, this is what we do. We're not gonna work super super hard on the online. We're not gonna voice a bunch of these games. We're not gonna do insert thing here because we're Nintendo and we don't have to. And they're right, they don't have to. But I'm starting to find it, for some reason, I'm starting to find it slightly annoying. And I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why I'm annoyed. I just am, and it may be because, like, okay, for example, let's take Midnight Suns, for example. Midnight Suns is kind of the definition of a Nintendo game, right? There's not a lot of blood, there's no real, like, sex, romance, there's no real, like, open world type thing. I mean, you have the Abbey, which keeps expanding, but you have this very finite play area to play in when you come back from missions. Like, it's very much like an old school Nintendo game. And the only thing that they did was decent cutscenes and voice. That's it. Which XCOM did not have. I don't know about XCOM 2, because I never really picked up X, XCOM 2, but Midnight Suns has those two things, and because of that, when I see the next XCOM game from Firaxis, I'm going to be like, okay, guys, you did this once. Now you have to do it with this franchise. Like, I've seen it. Now I see what's possible with an XCOM title and the, like, around the mission type stuff to keep you from getting it's like, for example, you can only do off, you know how XCOM works, that you do a mission, you come back, you do research,
sure,
you buy equipment, all that stuff. So they made it so that you can only do one mission per day. Okay? Because the other night I did a mission, came back to the Abbey, and I was like, I want to do another one. And it wouldn't let me until I slept. Because, like I said, it has this very rhythmic day-night cycle, and these things that it wants you to do in a given game day. And I was kind of annoyed that I couldn't do another mission, but at the same time, like, I understand that this is how they want the game to play, and it really works. It's more fun than XCOM was, because you're not just coming back from a mission looking at screens. You're walking around this thing, you've got places to go and things to do and side quests and various things. All of this to say that when you see something done in that way, it's kind of hard to go back to what you have seen before and kind of be okay with it. And I realize that's a bad analogy when talking about Nintendo, but it's like what you just said with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. If, to me, those two all-time franchises are different than the game, than the Zelda games that are being put out in the middle, they're two separate things. And you basically said that 20 minutes ago. The ones that are being put out in the middle are placeholders. They're things to keep us busy between the big titles, essentially. And I'm okay with that. I'm just waiting. When I see something like Metroid Prime 4, I want some sort of a big upgrade, and I'm not going to get it. And I have to be okay with that. I understand that. It's what Nintendo does. I'm just slightly annoyed.
Yeah, I think that's mostly fair. It's tricky because I look at, like, to keep it in Metroid context for a little bit, I look at Metroid Dread, which was a drastic change over the formula.
Okay, can you, my mind is going all kinds of places because as I was watching this Metroid stuff, I couldn't remember. We didn't finish Dread, did we?
No, we did. Yeah.
Did we finish? I can't remember.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially the 2D Metroid games are great because they're short. So yeah, you could get through them. So we definitely finished Dread.
Oh, right.
The end was tough.
Yeah, the guy kept coming.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, okay. Yeah.
But it was great, and it was not a drastic change from the formula. Like, it was a Metroid game, and much the same as Metroid games have been, with all the mostly the same power-ups with a few little added bits sprinkled in, and like, Nintendo could execute those things that shouldn't work in a way that usually works, that often works, and it's crazy, and I don't know why they can do that, but they can do it. But every so often, it doesn't work, and sometimes you get a game that Nintendo puts out that you're kind of like, I wish it would have been something more. And we just have two potentials with that, with this new Zelda game and with Metroid Prime 4, that could be games that we go, they're okay, but they're not great. But it would not shock me that both of these games are like 93 to 96 Metacritic titles, you know, like, because Nintendo just does that. Like, they just consistently put out games that are really good, even if they're not like really novel or really innovative or really pushing any kind of envelope anywhere. Like, They're just good, and Nintendo does a good job at that. At some point, that isn't going to happen, and either of these or both of these games could be examples of that, but until they put out something that's just really not good, that's pretty mediocre, I'm going to expect that it's probably going to be pretty decent.
And I'm curious, when you play Midnight Suns, if you are as enthralled with it as I am, because I played for 2 days, and I told you before we got on the air for the last show, I don't know that I like this. And I kept playing it and kept playing it and kept playing it, and I still don't know that I like it, but I can't stop playing it. And I'm really curious, because that's the best parallel that I can think of right now. Like, those Firaxis games, whether you're talking about XCOM 1 or 2 or some of the other ones that they did back in the day, they're extremely formulaic games. They just are. And you either like them or you don't. And you don't realize how much you don't like the originals until you see an update that's like, oh, okay, this is cool. Because now what I want is an X-Men game that is based at the school, and you have all of the X-Men villains, and like, yeah, I'm like, give me some more of this, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So that's Nintendo's Direct for June 2024. They'll have more again. This is like just piecing stuff together for E4 in the summer, but this was Nintendo's big summer event. We'll be, I'm sure, seeing more Nintendo stuff over the coming months. They've already announced that they're not going to be at Gamescom. Sony's not going to be at Gamescom. And so Sony is the other one. We haven't talked much about Sony yet. Sony did a Direct at the end of May that was meh. You know, it was okay. They talked about Path of Exile 2 and Silent Hill 2 and a couple other things. I can't remember off the top of my head. That was not like mind-blowing stuff, which leads me to think that they probably have one more event coming in the next month or so, just to be kind of in this summer games time, even though there's not, again, organized E3 or whatever. So if and when that happens, we'll obviously talk about it. But it hasn't happened yet, so we're not talking about it yet. So I don't know if you have any thoughts just generally on Sony at this point, them being the one company we really haven't spent much time talking about.
They are doing what I just said Nintendo should do, which is putting their stuff on other platforms. There's people playing Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 right now that have not probably ever played one of those games because they've not owned a PlayStation, and I wouldn't be surprised if Sony products end up on Game Pass in the next, you know, several months. And so I really think Sony is trying to figure out how to coexist with Steam and Game Pass, and I don't know that they've figured it out yet. But they're doing what they have to do to keep themselves relevant. Because when you get a game like a Spider-Man 2, that's the game that you expect. That's a Sony game. That's a PlayStation polished, here we go, the whole show with all the bells and whistles. That's a Sony game from back in the day, like a Metal Gear or a insert title here on the PlayStation 2. That's what they do. Microsoft doesn't really do it to that level yet, even though they bought all of these different franchises and all of these different things. But Sony is really good at that. And I think they're doing the best thing that they can do in putting these high-quality games like Horizon 2 and Spider-Man, and I think I saw Days Gone is on the PC now. They're doing everything that they can do to get what they do best out there.
Yeah.
So I like it.
Yeah,
I've always liked it.
Yeah,
and it's cool.
Yeah, and good on them for that. I do want to see new Sony stuff. Like that's what I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're working on, but like you gotta give us something to keep us excited about being PlayStation owners. And just right now, they just haven't showed us a lot of that recently. And so I'm hoping that we'll have some kind of showcase about that, be it some sequel news or some new IPs or just something that will get out there. There's so much that they haven't done recently that they can do. And so hopefully we'll see some of that.
Real quick before we wrap this up, I got to tell you something that's going to make you totally geek out. As you know, I'm way behind on everything. I always see things 5 years too late and get excited about things 5 years too late. And so we have the game room now. We have the TV. We have the big sound. And so for the last month or so, I have been slowly watching through Stranger Things.
Nice.
And I don't know what I think. Like season one, I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. And I'm like halfway through season two. And I apologize for anybody that hasn't seen it. But I'm about to give a spoiler here. When Dustin finds his little friend like, for like three episodes, I'm screaming at the TV, cursing at the TV, kill it, you stupid son, do you not know what that is? Kill it! Like, seriously, for like the last 4 hours, I'm sitting in a room screaming at the TV, kill that thing. and that show, I don't know how it's gonna end up. There's two more seasons. There's a fifth season coming. I'm enjoying it. I'm like 10 years too late, but you I'm are. Enjoying it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love Stranger Things. Nothing compares to the first season. The first season is just it's like one of the best single seasons of television, in my opinion, because it's so novel, it's so fun, it's so interesting. After that, they kind of just lean into the gimmick, and it's fun because it continues to be nostalgic, and you know, like there's that stuff about it that continues to be cool, and you get into the characters, but it turns more into just kind of a typical kind of well done, but not like as innovative as the first season TV show, but it's still fantastic. The most recent season is brutal. Like it gets very dark and very like very gory, and just like it matures as the like children age, as they're becoming teenagers. The show just gets a lot darker and a lot gorier and in really fun and cool ways in some ways, and in other ways a little bit like if you watch it all together, you're like, oh, this is getting kind of cringy for these little kids that I was watching just a little bit ago.
Well, even second season is cringy. It's like, dude, like I'm talking specifically about Dustin, but I'm like, dude, how stupid can you be? You were around for everything. What are you doing, you idiot? Like just like literally screaming at the TV.
Yeah.
But it is good. I am enjoying it.
It is fantastic. I'm glad you're finally there.
It is what it is. I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Definitely. I love it completely. It's an amazing show.
I will say to all of you that are out there listening, if there are shows out there that I should have watched 10 years ago that I need to get into, we now have the room to do it well.
Yes.
And so I'm enjoying these things. So if you know of a television show that an old me needs to watch and enjoy, please let me know, gamingunsensored@gmail.com. You can send us a voicemail. We do have a voicemail line at
509 game 210. You caught me off guard.
Yeah, see what I was doing there? Yeah,
somebody sneaky.
Somebody needs to call us because they're still trying to take it away from us. Yes. So call us, leave us a voicemail. Talk about something that we have not talked about. Yes. Please do that. There's all kinds of discussion going on the Facebook page. Lots of people very excited about the Nintendo Direct. I'm very interested to see, like Tommy was saying, what happens with the rest of the summer, because we have a lot of summer left. And I'm wondering what Jeff is going to pull out of his hat. And so I would like to see some discussion on that. I mean, we've had the big week with all of the quote-unquote conferences, so to speak. But I feel like there may be one more big rabbit, and you may be right, it may be Sony.
Yeah. I just have to imagine they'll do something.
And my question is, at this point, if they do something, what's it going to be like? I'm racking my brain trying to figure out, like, what could they do that would surprise us?
Yeah.
What franchise have we not seen in forever that would just bend the bounds of reality, so to speak?
Yeah.
I have no idea, but that is coming, and we would like to have you guys talk about that. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
No, I think we're good.
We are the Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com. And oh, yeah, it's an extravaganza. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.